This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Rhapsody Pattern and Drafting Guide. Our innovative approach to garment sizing and drafting lets you take your measurements and plot them on a pre-printed drafting guide to get a better foundation for a perfect fit. Go to sewhere.com/patterns to get access now.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we are going to be answering some questions that we've gotten in the Facebook group. I love it when...
Okay, do you ever dream about podcasting though?
You know, I don't know.
I've had a couple nightmares. Oh. Like we did, you know, the whole thing and then you didn't have it recorded or...
Oh my God, the Wi-Fi's on. You didn't ask me if the Wi-Fi...
Is the Wi-Fi on, Mallory?
Yes, it is. Turn Wi-Fi off. Oh, my God. We've lost a couple episodes because if you're looking into starting a podcast and you use Audacity, do not have your Wi-Fi on.
Do we need to start over?
No, I think we're okay. I think we're okay. All right. Well, maybe we should start over because I was going to say what we were doing. And
let's
then you're like,
over.
Do you dream about podcasting?
Let's start over.
We're taking some questions from the Facebook group. Thank you all who submit questions. They're good. And sometimes we don't think of everything because we're in a different place and people's perspectives.
Or if you're sewing something different or here's the other thing. We've already answered it. It's just that you weren't there or, you know, like, or you forgot we answered it or you weren't interested in it at the time so you didn't put it in your mind bank. And that was something like when we had the storefront.
Yeah.
I would think, I have said this 42 times today. Oh, well, it was to 42 different people, so I have to keep saying it, right?
ZD's not complaining about your questions.
No, I'm just saying like... that, you know, when you're giving out information, sometimes you have to repeat it.
Yeah, no, I like getting, and you know, I know I like to get information. Sometimes I'm not ready for it.
Right.
Like, you know, in certain, or, you know.
Our people will say, we've had that on, you know, the Facebook page where people will say, well, don't they know the rules? Blah, blah, blah. The rules have been stated here 100 times. Well, maybe they're new.
Maybe they're new.
Maybe they haven't been active on the page. You know, you just don't know. There's new people all the time or whatever. Or
I had a really
funny idea. Everybody sees every post either.
I had a really funny idea for a Facebook status in the group. And it was,
oh, no. She thinks she's being funny now.
I want to say, if I have to remind people that it's okay to swear here one more time, well, it's just another bleepin' Wednesday. but I didn't post that. But people who listen to the podcast,
dropping
I think that's
the bombs
funny.
On the Facebook
that
page.
That just might.
So Facebook really means F bomb. Did you know that? FB?
No. That's what it means. Thanks for telling me.
That's what it means.
Okay.
Right. On our Facebook page.
Okay. This question is from Colette. Tearing versus cutting wovens. Is one truly better than the other? And why did fabric stores stop the practice? Okay. So let's talk about tearing wovens and
when
it can be useful and when it's not useful.
Well, when you tear it, you're tearing on the grain.
Yeah.
And you're finding the true grain.
Yep.
You will also find that your fabric maybe isn't on grain.
That's right.
That it's actually crooked or it's, you know, it's been contorted. And it gets contorted not in the factory or not when, like, they put it on the bolt. It's usually because it's been on the bolt and something's been laid on top of it or it's been. So when the, you know, all those bolts that are standing on end, that's taking the fabric out of grain.
Right.
So it doesn't all go out of grain.
Right.
But, you know, that is one way that happens.
So I think Colette is, you know, her experience has been that she'd go to a fabric store and in the past they'd tear it for her and maybe now they don't.
I will tell you this. It depends on what fabric store you go to, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's what
and
I wanted to
And we used to
say.
Tear
yeah.
as much as we could,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Now, there's also pulling a thread.
Yes.
Okay, so not all wovens can be torn.
That's yes.
Okay, because you go to tear them and, you know, the weave's too tight or the actual thread is too strong. Or,
right.
You know, especially things that aren't evenly woven.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about like a damask or
something
like
that's not evenly, even like something with a tricot weave.
Yeah.
You know, it will stop because it's not an even weave.
You mean like a twill weave?
Yeah, tricot. That's what I meant.
Yeah, okay.
Well, tricot means it's but it's usually a knit. But in, yeah.
Yeah, trigo is normally a knit because that's what that means, right. actually. So,
it does.
So anyway, moving
but
on.
But what I'm saying is it will stop.
That's
because
right.
it's every third thread or whatever is in, you know.
So you can't, yeah, you can't tear everything.
So that's called pulling a thread. And you might see somebody do that where mm-hmm. they clip the edge of the fabric along the selvage.
Right.
They pick out a thread that is a weft thread, mm-hmm. one that goes from weft to right.
Right. Yep.
And then they will start to pull it, and you can see how that thread is pulled through the fabric, and they cut along that line.
Now, okay, you used to manage, like, a really nice fabric store.
Yeah.
Like, it was not...
very high-end.
You know, a big box store.
Right.
It was stuff that was selected.
Right.
And so, you know, I think oftentimes when we cut fabric in that store... we knew we were starting from a good place, too.
A lot of times that was true.
We knew that we were on grain mm-hmm. to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
well, a lot of times I would pre-cut. Like, I would go.
You would make sure.
Right. I would make a start. And that's where I would get my samples, too.
Yeah.
I would rip off, you know, the first 2 or 3 inches or whatever, you know, on the leader on the vault. And then I would cut that up into samples. And people could take samples from that. But, yes. And why they stopped?
Well.
Because they don't want you to know it's off grain.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Okay, that's my opinion.
Oh, no, it's got to be
I don't even know if that's a fact.
Okay, well, first of all,
but
I think people don't understand.
That's why I never buy how much I want.
Oh,
I buy more.
Always buy more.
Yeah.
I think a few reasons for this happening. Mm-hmm. I think that it can freak some people out to see their fabric
torn. Some people don't like it.
Yeah, some people don't
and
like it.
And here's another thing. If mm-hmm. it's too difficult to tear, you can tear it and then you get it off grain on the edge.
Well, and it can it can be damaging.
It can. If you don't know, the person who's delivering the fabric to you, right?
Right.
Or cutting the fabric for you or whatever we want to call this, right? The table cutter person. Whatever.
Right.
Has to know what they're doing.
Right.
Okay. If they don't know what they're doing, they can almost make it worse.
Have you ever I've torn like a polyester satin before, and it sort of like, I mean, it almost looks like the edge is like melted a little bit.
Well,
like it's
you can
distorted.
Actually make it go at a right angle sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah,
it's not always appropriate
right.
to tear the fabric. Sometimes it can be, but I do want to say one thing that you taught me. You can tear fabric to find that grain.
Yes.
Okay. But do not tear pattern pieces. Like, if you're cutting out a bunch of rectangles.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
Oh, yes.
If you need a bunch of 2-inch strips.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go along and cut and tear, because you're going to get some threads that are coming out from that.
It also ripples the edge.
Yeah, it can ripple the edge.
So what she's saying, like, I think I kind of remember this.
Yes.
That maybe it was like a cuff or a...
something
for, I think it was, you know, for like a Christmas stocking or something,
uh-huh.
and we were making multiples of them,
and it was a bunch of rectangles.
It was like at a craft show, and it was long rectangles.
Yeah.
Well, yes, they were
technically
they're
rectangles,
yes.
right?
And some, I told someone I need, you know, 24 of these, you know, 4x8 or whatever,
yeah.
and they ripped them all, and of course the edges were like rippled and curled, and there were pokies and all this. They needed to be pressed.
Yeah. So,
like, no, get out the rotary cutter and cut them.
So you might want to tear off the bolt and find that straight edge.
Yes.
But then you need to proceed to cut.
Well,
right.
I would go to my serger, serge that, and then go pre-wash.
Yes.
That's what you would do.
But like
right.
when we buy a bolt of, like, say we bought a bolt of fabric and we brought it home and then we need to like cut off of it,
like
right?
A
like,
bolt or yes. two. I'm looking at 5 million. Go ahead.
I might unroll that bolt like you would at a fabric store
right.
and find that straight edge. I might rip. But then when I proceed to cut out pattern pieces, even if they're a bunch of straight edged pattern pieces,
right.
I would not rip those.
Never.
I would cut.
You need to cut.
You can distort. So.
Well, the Colette, right?
Colette, yeah.
And I don't know if this is a good answer for you or not. So you need to know that. Like, so wherever you go, it might be done a different way.
Well, but I do know why Colette asked. And so I just want to say.
Oh, why did she ask?
I feel like she asked because she's getting fabric from a fabric store that's off grain. You know, and
she's
frustrated by that.
Right.
So I want to commiserate with her there, because one time I went and I bought some knit someplace and I wanted to make freaking square baby blankets. And so I got, I can't remember what I got. I think I just got a yard of each because I was kind of like, oh, I think I'm only going to make these little blankets that are maybe
36 by 36.
Well, I was going to make them 30 by 30.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I'm getting a yard, you know. Right. And when I finally got that fabric out and laid out on our cutting table, it was a trapezoid.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was.
And here's what happens.
And it was a knit, so it could not have been ripped.
So no, and knits get off very easily on that bolt. It's one of the things about transporting knits that's, you know.
Right, a challenge.
And here's what's happened. Every time they cut it, it's off a little bit more, and it's off a little bit more, and it's off a little bit more. And what they should be doing is unwrapping the knit from the bolt, holding it up, and folding it and seeing how it hangs selvage to selvage. And if it is hanging with any sort of ripple in it, it's off grain. You have to fold it in half and make it hang without a ripple. And I had to teach Mallory that.
So if you ever received our Sew Here box, the knits edition, and we cut up like 50 million yards of black double brushed poly, it was on grain because Edie made us, you know, we'd cut one.
I'd say, nope, there's a ripple.
Maybe we cut two.
Right.
And then we'd have to line it up again. So we cut your fabric on grain. But Colette, so you may, you know, in the past have seen it, and sometimes it's advisable and sometimes it's not. And but I mean,
you can challenge a store and say, I don't think this is on grain or whatever. Or, you know, you should have taken back that trapezoid probably and said, look at this.
Oh, my
you
know. God. It was such a trapezoid.
Right. No, now, the other thing with a knit, especially a knit, you may be able to run it through the washer and dryer, and it straightens up.
Yes.
But I doubt it. It was probably cut wrong.
Okay, so your fabrics can also just, this is, you know, not really, this is related to Colette's question, but if you did get fabric that's on grain, but then it looks like it's been distorted.
Right.
You can get that wet, and then you can hang that out.
Right.
You're re-blocking the fabric,
right? You're re-blocking.
Yeah.
And now, if it dries and it's still a little bit off, okay, and you know that your edges are, you can pull fabric.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You learn to pull, and that is an art.
Yeah. If you can see those threads.
Right.
If you can see what's going on and pull that straight thread.
No. I'm talking about pull it into shape.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But if you can pull and see where that thread is, but then see that things are on an angle and not in that thread is not perpendicular.
So you may have to get like corner to corner.
Yes.
You know, on your fabric and basically stretch it.
When I say re-block, like when knitters block their shawls, they get them wet, and they stretch them into the
and
shape
they make
them want.
To the correct shape.
Right.
Yep.
So you might get this fabric wet, and you might need to stretch it into the shape you want.
I do know that when we used to rip fabric in the shop, people go, oh!
Yeah. They,
now, here's the
out.
Other thing is, we never, if somebody asks for a yard of fabric, we cut it 38 or 39 inches.
Yeah.
We never cut it 36. And a lot of stores will not do that.
Yeah, no, I always cut extra.
But, you know, we always cut so that we could rip. And, you know, if it was a little bit off grain, you know, you could go home and work with it.
And I don't think if you go to some big box store, they do not have the time or resources to train that fabric person, unfortunately, in how fabric works. And I just think, like, when you manage...
I don't even know why they use scissors. I can't believe they don't use rotary cutters.
Safety, don't you think?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you managed that fabric store, I mean, I would get freaked out about cutting people's fabric sometimes, and I knew what I was doing.
Right.
Like, you know, so I can only imagine. Maybe these people don't know what they don't know. But
well, I think the one
would,
thing about that fabric store, too, is when people came in, they expected us to be able to calculate yardage for them.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a lot of home deck and upholstery fabric. And they would say, this is my couch. You know, how much fabric? And we would have to calculate what they needed for their couch.
No, it was a pretty nice place. That was kind of fun, wasn't it? I mean, for a couple of years.
No,
right?
It was.
Right?
It was.
Okay. Let us, I guess, take a little break and come back and answer our second question.
Okay. Did you know that we, SewHere.com, have patterns? That's right. We've created drafting guides that give you more control of your garment fitting and construction process. Need to get started on the perfect t-shirt? The Wrapsatee is for you.
Take your measurements, or those of someone you love, or someone who will pay you $1 million, and plot them out on our pre-printed drafting guide. It's available as a tiled PDF or a large format AO file, so you have access to the drafting guide immediately after you purchase it.
The Rhapsody instructions include info on how to draft for any body, no matter your size, proportions, or gender. Large busted stitchers get my useful tip on how to create the boob bump so that your shirt will fit perfectly, even if other patterns have failed you.
Go to sewhere.com/patterns to check out our offerings, including the Rhapsody.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
And we're back. All right, Anne has a question, and this is a little, you know, unfortunately we can't give cut and dry answers to all these things, just like with Colette's. And we promise we're not just trying to, you know, cop out here. But, okay, Anne asks, are PDF patterns ruining my sewing game? I've been sewing garments for almost 2 years, and everything I know I've learned from indie pattern makers. Sometimes different patterns have conflicting information. Do you sew a knit sleeve in before or after sewing up the bodice side seams? And I worry that I'm learning bad techniques. Of course, I supplement with everything I glean from Mal and Ziti, but I worry that I'm missing out on the, quote, right way to sew by using only indie patterns. Okay, so a couple people answered her, and they were like, hey, there's no right way all the time for everything.
I think she's absolutely ruined herself, and yeah, she has to start over.
No.
Yeah, no. She'll never be able to sew properly ever again.
I've seen bad instructions from indie sewing patterns and from the big four.
Yeah.
And I've seen good instructions.
The thing about the big four or five or two or whatever they are now.
Or just the big
because
one.
Yeah. The big anything is that for years, at least they were consistent, I believe. You know, they were, you sort of knew what to expect and the markings were the same.
Yeah.
You know, now I do remember when I first started learning to sew that I felt like Butterick patterns were harder to understand the instructions for some reason. Like,
oh,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, just like the syntax. I don't know. I don't. Yet I liked their patterns.
Hmm.
So, but, and then, you know, I got to where I barely needed to read the instructions, so it didn't matter to me.
Right. You know, that's my.
Or even I would read their instructions and then I would decide which way I was going to do it. I might not do it their way. And the thing of like, does the sleeve go in before or after? I don't think it matters. I will tell you sometimes. Here's a decision that I would have, might make. So say I am sewing for show choir.
Right.
And I'm making all these knit tops. I'm making 42 knit tops, right?
Right.
And I know I may have some alterations coming up after these kids try these on.
Yeah.
I would sew the sleeve in flat.
Okay.
Because I would assume that I am going to have to take some side seam and maybe through the sleeve alterations.
Yeah.
Which means I could just zip right down that.
Yes.
Again. Okay. So there, I just made that decision for that reason.
Right.
And here's the thing. How the more skilled you are, the more practiced you are.
Right.
The more it doesn't matter. The reason to put a set-in sleeve in is so that you are not contorting it.
Right.
Okay? Putting it in flat, sometimes people will have the tendency to contort the fabric.
Right.
Okay. So that would be one reason. The other reason would be the underarm seam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In a flat sleeve makes more bulk.
Well, and okay. In a woven garment.
Right. In a woven garment.
When you have a two-piece sleeve.
Right.
Okay, you can't sew it flat.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and there are two-piece sleeves and knits too.
No, I know.
Right.
I know.
Right. But yes. Yes.
Yeah.
A more tailored garment probably calls for a set-in sleeve. But here's the thing. Usually the sleeve cap on a knit sleeve is much lower. It
right.
doesn't have the ease that you have to have. And the other thing is, a lot of times it is symmetrical.
Right.
There's no difference between
okay,
the front and
I
the
wanted
back.
I wanted to bring that up because apparently there's some kind of something going
on.
Oh,
yeah. People are like really upset about that.
Right. Upset that that would be cut on the fold or something. And I'm
yeah,
like,
you can, you if they're symmetrical, you can cut them on the fold.
Yeah, it was a very...
I know. People are very upset about it.
The question confused me. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Like, some you may find, Anne, sometimes it might matter and sometimes it might not.
Right.
And another person just asked a question in the group about cover stitching, on a curved hem.
Uh-huh.
And someone said, I really find it's easier to do with the garment flat and then to seam it up. And I said, you know, I've never found that I need to do that. And this other person was like, oh, I have, dot, 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 dot. This is why. They just found it, like, if you think of a shirt tail hem, they found that where it goes up into the side seam was too...
You mean like what I'm wearing right now?
Yes, was too much of an angle for them.
Well, now that might be true.
Yes.
Then they need to change the angle if they want to do it all at one time.
So
you may recut a shape sometimes if you want to use a
certain
technique.
That's why I'm bringing this up, because the question can lead to, you know, a discussion of situations and techniques. So, Anne, I don't think that you should be automatically... what do I want to say? Wary or doubt yourself because you've been working with indie patterns?
No, I don't either.
Because I've worked with indie patterns, and I find I have found very good instruction, and then I found not so good instruction. I'll tell you what, I was working with two different indie patterns, and they both had a fly front, and you know they were trousers, and one of them I was like, what the hell are these people telling me to do right now?
Right.
I was like, I'm going to follow the other indie pattern.
Well, the other thing that sometimes happens, because you have all of these independents, right, is they don't know the verbiage.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to call things. And trying to describe things to people, you have to be very careful about using...
It wasn't the verbiage, okay?
But, but there's other things about... There's other things about describing instructions is like... up and down or, you know, right or left, things like this that people really need to think about when they're writing instructions. Somebody's up might be somebody else's down and things like that.
Well, that wasn't the issue.
Right.
Like, I think the one set of instructions was just a poorly thought out process.
Like the process that was complicated or overdone or something.
Yeah, I was like, why the heck is this
and
happening?
That happens too.
So, but then I've also gone to a big four and I've been like, why are they sewing this in so many steps?
Or you've gone to a big four and the pattern piece didn't even fit.
Or
remember,
that's
that
right.
was on your
or
button downs list.
I remember.
Remember that?
Yes, I remember. Yeah. And I remember also the pattern pieces being mislabeled. So anything can happen. But no, don't think just because, you know, big four or versus indie, I don't think you know.
Well, you know, I'll go back to my old adage is that you need to know the rules to be able to break the rules.
Right.
And those rules are things like knowing if something needs to be on grain or, you know, if you're on the bias, yes, it's going to stretch. Or if you're going to use your cover stitch and there's too much of an angle, your machine might not make it.
Right.
Or what, you know, all those things. And I don't think I've ever constructed a pattern exactly like it said to do it.
Right. So
like I've always, you know, changed it or done something,
you know,
or decided to make it my way.
The answer here, because things can change so much, you know, like we talked with the sleeve, like, okay, there can be certain things left over from a time when certain fabrics didn't exist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, or certain machines didn't exist. It's quite possible. So really, unfortunately, the only answer here is just to keep sewing and keep making and keep learning
doing. And the other thing about the sleeve, like I learned this basically from dancewear sewing and everything, is you barely want a sleeve cap in a lot of dancewear because you want it close fitting. You want it like a second set of skin in those knit garments. So you'll see like a t-shirt pattern drafted may have a bigger, you know, cap, bump, right? And then it, maybe you go to a leotard and it's flatter.
Right.
Because they it's supposed to be down close to the skin, right?
Well, and, you know, there are other things where I think people want to, like, make rules that don't, there could not possibly be a rule about this thing. And what I'm bringing up is... there was a blog post shared in the group, and it was like, sleeve cap ease doesn't need to exist. And I was like, well, I mean, unless the pattern maker wants it to, I just thought you can make a woven sleeve and sleeve cap with a complete one-to-one ratio, sure, but maybe the pattern maker wants it to look like something else, or maybe it wants to, and I think about extremes of like, okay, maybe some pattern maker makes a woven garment with no sleeve cap ease, and then some other pattern maker makes, like, a leg of mutton sleeve. And I just think there is no reason to make this, like, absolute rule, like, when the process of garment making
and
can be so different.
And sometimes there's ease. You're talking about style. And sometimes ease is there for function.
No, I know.
So it's yeah.
Yes, yeah, I understand.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why you know the rules. Like,
right.
If you know the rules, then you know why it's like this.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know.
It's or just... why you don't. But, yeah, I have seen this big discussion about the symmetrical sleeve and people carrying on about it and everything. And then I saw a garment someone sewed, okay? And they're telling me how great they were. And it was the most horrid sleeve insertion I had ever seen. And I thought, you're giving advice? Well, glad you posted this.
So you can make your own decisions.
Yeah.
And I just thought, that's the other thing is like, you know, Fred brought up, she is like, on my Rhapsody, I did do an asymmetrical sleeve. She cut out a different front and a back.
Yeah.
And I thought, for different people's bodies.
Different bodies.
And they might like this or that.
That's absolutely
right.
For
different fabrics, it might. Then that's the thing about like a knit t-shirt is the fitting doesn't have to be as subtle, of course, as a woven garment.
Right.
And I thought, if you want to get into more subtle fit, for sure, do it. You know, but yeah, apparently this group had just completely said if it's a pattern that's drafted with a symmetrical sleeve, it's just always wrong.
Well, they were like, don't buy those people's patterns. That's wrong. And that now, you know, used to be if we made a tailored jacket, we put one sleeve in, you know, going forward and one sleeve in going backward so that they were both, I mean,
yeah,
you made sure that they were sewn in exactly the same direction and perfect, perfect, perfect.
Right. So,
you know, I don't sew like that anymore.
I guess I would be wary of people who sort of deal in absolutes. Now, I know that ZD and I will say things like we always do this or that, but I think we provide a pretty good explanation. Like, I'm trying to remember, you know, we talk about the three-thread narrow. Okay.
Right.
That's one of, you know, those things that has been, like, challenged. And I think we've provided a lot of justification.
And all we can say is it works for us.
That's right.
It always works for us. We don't seem to have the problems that people are coming up with. I think their stitch is bad.
Well,
but, you know,
right.
I mean,
so if you come up against somebody who says, well, this is always wrong or you always have to do this. So that's where I would sort of like, you know, and I think that's what Anne's kind of asking, do you always need to put the sleeve in like this or like that? And, you know, that's why the community exists. And it's just sewing gives you so many options. You could be using a totally different fabric from the test garment. You'd be using a different machine. You're going to have a different experience than the tester. And that's okay.
I don't think I've ever put in a baby garment sleeve in the round. I think I almost always do them flat because they're so tiny.
They're so small. Yeah.
You know, and usually they're big on the child anyway.
Right.
Like it's not made to... the reason to say, you know, you just don't even have to set it in. I mean, we're not looking at, you know, like a stylish fit here. We're looking at covering a baby.
Well, you know, another thing that we kind of say, like, never try a garment on inside out.
Yeah.
And then we give a good explanation for why we think that, you know? And so I guess when you're talking about things like that, make sure that your person can give you a good sort of explanation.
All you have to say is, tell me why you do it that way.
Yeah.
That's all you have to say to somebody. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say, well, I never do it that way, or so-and-so says not to do it that way. I'd say, tell me why you do it that way.
I don't always look at pattern instructions with with an eye toward like judgment necessarily, because I've got.
Oh, yeah, I don't either.
I will look at them and say, oh, this is how they say to do it, but I'm going to do it this way because I've sown so many of those things.
Well,
I know that'll come with time.
Or I look at it and go, wonder why they're doing it this way. Maybe I better think about this.
Yes, I've done that too.
Is there a reason they're doing it this way? Now, my, you know, I just don't hardly use any. I just do so much self drafting.
Right.
You know, I don't do a lot of patterns. I actually used that pattern that I like that I use over and over.
Right.
For costuming, because I can make it look like a 40s dress or a 50s dress or, you know, and it's easy and it's on the bias and it fits everybody. I was looking at their directions and I thought, did I always sew it this way? Mm-hmm. And I went back to a dress, you know, I went and looked at one I had already constructed and I was like, yeah, I didn't think I did.
You did it a different way.
I think the first time I made it, I did it their way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Especially when it's sort of just like an order of operations kind of thing.
Right.
I will often change that.
Well, and oftentimes I'm changing that pattern anyway because I'm making, you know, I'm going for a certain look.
Right. And, you know, I just did a little mod. We'll talk about this in another podcast where I put a different type of zipper in a garment,
yes,
from what they recommended,
and why I told you that's why I always put that
and
in my.
And then we kind of talked about it, and then I thought it was the Jenny trousers, and I thought, okay, they can be overalls too,
mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, what if I made a pair of overalls that I was gonna like wear out to garden or something,
right?
Would an invisible zipper not be good for that versus a lap zipper? I don't know. I don't, you know.
See, I wouldn't put a zipper in overalls at all. Because I would have the pockets open.
Yeah, so she does.
Yeah.
She has a hack for that too.
Yeah.
She's got the buttons too.
Yeah.
If you want to do it that way, but then she gives the zipper option as well. And so I'm like, oh, there's just different contexts.
Well,
for different.
It might depend on how you like to go to the bathroom.
That's right. That's right. Or it depends on, you know, the look you want. So anyway, Anne, you know, you're gonna like trust your instincts and you're gonna try things out.
I think just because she asked the question,
she's okay. Good sign.
Yeah.
I agree. So, and sometimes you're going to make a mistake, and that's okay. Like, you got to do it in sewing. You have to be like, crap, I just made the wrong choice.
Any good pattern, will have not only what I call an instruction sheet or instructions, it will also probably have like a guide sheet or some sort of index that says, this marking means this, this means this. If you see this symbol, you want to do this. You know, they will clarify their symbols.
Okay. There's also, I think, quite the spectrum of indie patterns.
I do
okay.
too. Yeah.
Like closet case and cashmereette and grain line. It's like they've really got some high quality like printing and products out there. Okay.
Right.
And then I remember an employee of ours buying a pattern from like an indie sewing kind of like database, and it was not a good product. Like, and the tutorial was written out terribly, and I thought, oh my god, somebody did this like in paint. And I mean, you know, it was not well illustrated. It was da 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 da. So, you know, I guess I do want to put that out there. But yeah, I think it's good to be thoughtful about those things. So that's our kind of a weird answer for you, Anne.
These are not, it's like we're politicians.
Yeah, that's right.
We have no yes or no answers. We have to give you the history of the world before we can.
I hope you don't think we're equivocating.
No, but
that.
I think it's a good question. I think you're right for wondering instead of just accepting information.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if the information seems weird, think about it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the thing is you can email those people now and say, I'm not understanding this. You know, that is the one thing that you couldn't do. I mean, we didn't even have 800 numbers until I was like, what, in my 30s or something. So, you know, you can email somebody and say, you know, here you have this instruction and I've never done this. I'm not sure I understand it. Can you tell me why it's done this way?
Right. And I, you know, I hesitate to call out or to detail everything I ever change about everybody's patterns, you know, all the time. But if I do review a pattern, you know, I try to do that a little bit. Like if there's a waistband, I'm not even looking at the instructions.
Well,
I think
a lot of times people develop a way that they put in their waistbands.
After
you've sewn for a while and you've done so many waistbands, you're like, this is the way I put in a waistband, you know, and you glance at how they've done it or whatever and go, yeah, that's not my way. And
especially if it's well marked.
Right. I'm going my way. I know how to do this. Like I know how I want it to wind up.
Yeah, there's a tabbed waistband on those trousers. Right. And I thought, oh, well, okay, but I'm just doing it the way I want to do it, you know.
Yeah.
And so anyway. Okay, well, I think that was I thought we'd be able to answer more, but we'll do another one of these. So if you have any questions, you can always email us or you can ask in the Facebook group.
Or if you have a podcast idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
We may do it or do it in the late future or near future or far future.
These questions were from November.
Yeah.
So
well, it's only April.
It's March. Yeah, well, almost April.
Almost April.
Okay. What year is it, Mom?
2019,
I've
been told.
Can you count backwards? Can you count backwards from 100 by 7?
Maybe.
All right.
99 bottles of beer on the wall. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening. You can email me at Mallory@sohere.com or you can get a hold of us on Instagram. It'd be so wonderful if you would follow us there. That would be really helpful to us. We are So Here Calm. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SewHere.com.